everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we are on day two of our Newsworthy Clips article, and I have Campbell and Anna back in the studio. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone.
And yesterday we had a very good discussion about an ancient remedy. It's called an elixir. It's called many things, as we found out yesterday in our article. What did we really talk about yesterday, Campbell?
Well, we found that there's a professor of Viking studies, and she was flipping through an ancient text, an old book, and she discovered an ancient remedy for eye problems, and she wanted to see how well it worked. And she discovered, through help of her colleagues, that it was a very, very effective medicine or drug against a bacteria that was causing a lot of problems.
All right, and so that's a brief review of what we talked about yesterday. Today we're moving on to something totally different. We're talking about the Japanese magnetic levitation train, and it's called the Maglev, and it is said to have set a speed record. So it's really, really fast. So I'm excited to see how fast as we get into our article today. But when we're talking about something levitating, what do we mean, Anna?
Well, levitation means that it's kind of floating in the air. It's not suspended on anything. It's just kind of sitting there in the air.
Which sounds kind of dangerous for
it
a train.
It does, yeah.
But as we look in our article, we'll discuss that more. Is it dangerous? Is it safe? We'll talk more about that. But before we actually get into our article, I want to talk about modes of transportation, because as we know, there are many different ways that we can travel. Campbell, how do you like to travel?
Well, it depends on where I'm going. If I'm just traveling within a short distance, for example, if I'm going from New York to New Jersey, I like to drive. You know, if I'm going from Taipei to Kaohsiung, I like to take the high-speed rail. If I'm going from Taipei to New York, then I'd like to fly.
Okay. All right. Of course, it's relative. It depends on what you're doing. How about you, Anna?
Right. Well, if it's just around town, I prefer to take the bus because it's fairly cheap and it's pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm. All right. I really like getting on a high-speed train. That's probably my favorite way to travel, because it's so convenient and it's so fast.
Right. And you don't have to deal with security.
Exactly. That was in my mind because, you know, when you go to the airport, you have to go through all the security checks, which is needed, but it's nice not to have to do that. So I really enjoy high-speed travel. And I don't know about going super fast, though. We'll discuss that more as we get into the article. Well, if you have your magazines, please open them to page 33, and we will have our first reading for today.
Japanese magnetic levitation train set to have set speed record. A Japanese company said its magnetic levitation train set a speed record, reaching 366 miles per hour on a test track. The Central Japan Railway Company, often called JR Central, said the test run involved a 7-car maglev train on a 26.6-mile track in Japan's Yamanashi Prefecture. Magnetic levitation, or maglev, train systems use magnets to lift and propel the train, promising a ride that's smoother, quieter, and nearly twice as fast as traditional high-speed rail.
All right, so we're talking about the Maglev. It's in Japan, and we learn about a Japanese company, and they have said this magnetic levitation train, it set a speed record. How fast did it go, Anna?
366 miles per hour, which is really quite incredible.
That is incredible. It's really fast. And you think of, you know, it set a record. Are they racing against another train? What do they mean, Campbell?
Well, I think today's society is often about getting bigger and faster and better. And so they're trying to, you know, create the fastest train. So they did a test, and right now there's a record for the fastest train. And this train has apparently gone faster than the fastest train. So they've set a record.
All right. Well, if you're wondering what the train looks like, if you have your magazine open, you see there in the graphic a picture of what the train looks like and an explanation that we'll talk more about later. But this particular maglev train is on a 26.6-mile track, and it actually has, I believe, 7 cars. And the company here is called the Central Japan Railway Company, or they often call it JR Central. So they have the 7-car maglev train on a 26.6-mile track, and it's in the Yamanashi Prefecture, Campbell.
That's right. So prefecture is just is an area of Japan, and we're talking about the Yamanashi Prefecture here. And so this test track, this place where they test this train, exists in this Yamanashi area of Japan. And magnetic levitation or maglev train systems use magnets to lift and propel the train.
Okay, so maglev is short for magnetic levitation. It's like an abbreviated way of saying it. And so, as Campbell just said, this system uses magnets to lift and propel the train. And that word propel, Anna.
Right, propel. If you look in our vocabulary focus list here, you'll see it says to push or move something somewhere, often with a lot of force. So usually with trains, they're propelled with an engine, or even sometimes you'll see trolleys that are propelled by electricity. But this train is propelled by magnets.
Which is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Magnets. Who would think that? Well, I guess maybe if you're in this industry, you know about that. But this is not the traditional way. As Anna mentioned, we think of engines. But it actually promises a smoother ride and a quieter ride. And it's really fast. We see it's nearly twice as fast as a traditional high-speed rail. Well, that sounds like good news, doesn't it, Campbell?
Right. So imagine, I mean, the idea here is that the train is floating, so it's not necessarily touching everything. I mean, if you think of a traditional train, you hear the tuk 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 tuk, you know, that idea of the train running across the rails, and you feel that friction. But because it's floating, it's a smoother ride, it's quieter, there's nothing touching it, and it's going to be able to move faster.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the graphic there on page 33. We see again that it was tested on a 26.6-mile track. That's 42.8 kilometers. And then you also see where the Yamanashi Prefecture is there in the southern part of Japan there on the map. But let's actually look at the train, and we get kind of an explanation here, and it's quite complex. We are not, engineers here or scientists, but we do get an explanation here of the magnets and how the magnets work. And we see that the magnets are both pushing and pulling at the same time, right, Campbell?
That's right. So here we're talking about specific magnets, electromagnets. So these are magnets that are powered by electricity, and they push and pull at the train at the same time, making it move forward.
So that's how the magnets work. Well, and then the train moves, and so you get an explanation there in the graphic. And so these magnets are pushing and pulling, and it's helping the train to move. And of course, it's much more complex than that. If you're interested in knowing more about that, you can do some research on that. And you see there also the aerodynamic brakes for emergency, and there are power cables, and we see where the magnets are. And so this graphic helps us a lot, doesn't it, Anna?
Yeah, and it does show some wheel paths there. So I was wondering in my mind, would this train even have wheels if it's just being levitated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like at 100 kilometers per hour, the magnets lift the train off the track, reducing friction and noise. So maybe at a slower speed, the train would still use the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the higher speeds, it would begin to levitate.
Very good point. Well, we have much more to discuss and to learn about this maglev train. So let's go into our second reading for today.
Japanese officials plan to open a maglev line between Tokyo and the city of Nagoya in 2027, cutting the 90-minute travel time between the two on a traditional high-speed rail line by more than half. Because maglev trains require straight, even, and predictable terrain to run smoothly, most of the route will be through tunnels. It's good news, obviously, that the technology keeps advancing, and that countries are focusing on this, said Andy Coons, president of the U.S. High Speed Rail Association. We consider high speed rail the future, no question, from energy use to being able to move large numbers of people quickly to climate solutions. Yet, Coons said maglev trains are expensive, power intensive, and potentially unsafe.
So now we get into where they want to put this new maglev line. We see that Japanese officials, they're planning to open a maglev line between Tokyo and the city of Nagoya, but that's not until 2027. And so there's some time. They're planning for that. But what do they hope to do, Campbell?
Well, they want to cut the 90-minute travel time between the two on a traditional high-speed rail line by more than half. So we're going from 90 minutes to about 45 minutes. That's super fast.
That is. That's really fast. And so that would be really helpful. Maybe if you live in one city and you want to work in the other, it would be doable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The commute would be much more possible with this high-speed train.
Okay, because as we go on, it says, because maglev trains require straight, even, and predictable terrain to run smoothly, most of the route will be through tunnels. So I could see that that would take a lot of time because you have to build the tunnels.
Right.
And you have to have a predictable terrain. And if something's predictable, you know what's going to happen, right?
Right, so there's not going to be a lot of bends and curves in this path on this train. You know, in a traditional train, you know, the train track might curve a little bit around mountains or different things. But here, because the track needs to be straight, they're probably going to dig through some tunnels and just keep the path very, very straight.
Well, and if you have an open track, too, there's always the chance that maybe an animal will be crossing the track, or maybe a tree falls across the track or something. You can't predict what's going to happen, right? But when you're traveling at a speed this high, it would be very dangerous to have something on that track that would, you know, disrupt the train.
That's right. You want to make sure, you know, safety is at the top of the list, right? And so we meet a guy here from the United States. His name is Andy Kuntz, and he is the president of the U.S. High Speed Rail Association. And he says it's good news. You know, it's good that the technology is advancing and that countries are focusing on this. And what does he go on to say when he talks about considering high-speed rail?
Well, he says they consider high-speed rail the future, no question. So the idea is, you know, the high-speed rail travel idea is something that is going to become more and more popular. It's a trend, right? It's a great way to save energy. You can move large numbers of people quickly. So this is a good thing, but he's also got some concerns.
That's right. He says it's expensive and it could be dangerous, right? And also it's power intensive.
Right. Well, it would take a lot of construction, a lot of funding, and a lot of time to build these tracks.
Right.
Also, the idea that it could be unsafe when you're working with these giant magnets, you know, of this size. There is a possibility that something could go wrong.
Also, the speed. You're going at such high speeds. I think of the crash earlier this year in the United States on Amtrak, with Amtrak, and that's not a high-speed rail system, you know, but they were going too fast, and I believe it was around a curve, and of course the train went off the tracks. Many of the cars did, if not all. And so that dangerous, you know, to go at high speeds. But of course, if things are worked out the way they should be, maybe it's safe. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, panelists?
Well, I mean, maybe it could potentially be safe. I think think that's definitely the biggest concern, is making sure that people can get safely from one place to the other. But I mean, the thing is, with any kind of travel, there's always a certain amount of risk, even with planes and cars, you know.
Even walking could be a risk.
Right, exactly.
Riding your bike.
You know, it's kind of like this risk management thing. You can't completely eliminate all risk, but how do you minimize it?
That's right. Good point. Anna, any thoughts?
Well, I agree, Campbell. I've thought about that quite a bit. And I actually took the high-speed train last night. And I was just thinking while I was sitting on the train that no one is wearing a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. You know, there aren't any seatbelts. So what would happen if there were an accident? Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, you know, stayed in my mind for a little bit. But usually I don't think about those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, if these scientists and these engineers are really considering the best way, the safest way to do this, then I can definitely see myself taking this kind of train in the future.
Sure. I mean, it's definitely a technological marvel. I mean, the idea you're traveling at such high speeds. And if you were to be traveling, you should be feeling something. But on the high speed, you don't feel like you're traveling at like 100 miles an hour at all. You know, 200 miles an hour.
It's amazing. And, you know, it's just a very quick, convenient way to travel. And I think that's one of the key points, right? Convenience. And sometimes we're willing to take risks for convenience, right? Mm-hmm. And so, sure, maybe you're taking a risk. But as with everything, they have to test these things out. And when it's proven, people feel that, yes, it's been going for a while and it's safe, then more people will be willing to check it out.
It's very similar to, you know, airlines today. It's just so commonplace. People don't think about, oh, I'm going to be flying over the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's just, we take it for granted sometimes, I think.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I'm on a plane and there's turbulence, that's when I realize, right. This feels dangerous, even though it may not be dangerous, of course.
Right.
But you realize that, hey, this thing is up in the air and, you know, it could go down, but thank God, most cases it doesn't happen.
Right? Yes.
Right.
Well, we have more to discuss here about the maglev. Let's have our third and final reading for today.
The problem is if you have one tiny little settling of the earth, which happens all the time because of plate tectonics, that can create little movements in the maglev system, which can send trains crashing into stuff, he said. It's a very difficult system to make operational. Germany discontinued a high-profile maglev program after a fatal collision on a test course killed 23 people in 2006. We support advances in rail and technology, he said. But what we really support is technology that's proven. We can talk about maglev and the Hyperloop, all these things that aren't proven, then spend 20 years hoping they'll get built. But meanwhile, we need good fast rail today.
Okay, well, we have problems to focus on here, and we see that, of course, one problem is there are earthquakes in Japan, right, Anna?
That's true. And it says here that if you have one tiny little settling of the earth, which happens all the time because of plate tectonics, so it's talking about if there's an earthquake that changes the terrain, or if the earth moves any little bit, that can really create some problems.
Okay, and you think of plate tectonics, you think of those big plates, those sheets of rock under the earth's surface. And you think about how they can move. Well, that leads us to earthquakes, right? And if you're on a train when an earthquake occurs, that, of course, could be really dangerous.
Right, because it can cause little movements in the maglev system, which can send trains crashing into things.
Okay. So it's very difficult. It's a very difficult system to make operational. It's a great idea, but can you make it work in reality? If something is operational, that just means that it works well, okay? And so they want this system to work well, but is it operational? It's yet to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we go on to Germany, and what happened there, Campbell?
Well, they discontinued a high-profile maglev program after a fatal collision on a test course killed 23 people in 2006. So when we talk about something being discontinued, they were in the process of creating or building this system, and they stopped it because of this fatal accident.
Usually when I think of the word discontinued, I think of a product. If a product has been discontinued, they don't offer that product anymore. But in this case, we're, of course, talking about the maglev program there in Germany. And we see that there was a fatal collision, fatal meaning that someone died.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a collision is, you think of two cars coming together, and they hit each other. And so there was a train wreck, and people died during that train wreck. And then we go on to the next paragraph, and what do we learn there at the beginning, Anna?
Well, Kunz is talking about the U.S. High Speed Rail Association, and he says, "We support advances in rail and technology, but what we really support is technology that's proven." So he's saying that right now in the U.S., they want to advance the rail technology, but what we really need is things that work.
Things that work. Is it functional? Is it operational? Is it safe, right? They need to test it enough to where people, you know, can go aboard and feel safe there.
Right. So there's technology now that's very theoretical, like he gives some examples, the maglev and the hyperloop, but these things aren't proven. These things, you know, we're not sure if they work yet. And so we can spend 20 years hoping that these things will work, but what we really need is fast rail today, good fast rail today.
And the Hyperloop, by the way, is a conceptual HSR line, and they hope to have that between LA and San Francisco. And so that is not there yet, but it is an idea. If something is conceptual, that's an idea that people have proposed, but it is actually not in place yet. So we need good fast rail today, and I circled that word need on my paper here because I'm wondering, do we need it? Is it something we actually need? What do you think, Anna?
Well, that's a good question, and I see that this article is coming from the Los Angeles Times. So they're talking about this Japanese train technology, and they're applying it to, you know, what's going on in LA right now. And I'm not so familiar with the transportation issues of LA and the traffic concerns, but apparently that this is something that they believe that they need in California.
Yeah.
That's a good point because it would cut down on the use of cars, which would help people if they are using a car for it not to be as congested. And so in that sense, it would be very helpful.
Well, I think the idea is that San Francisco and LA is just, it's very far apart. And I mean, the world is growing smaller and smaller today with the internet and people being able to connect over the internet. Mm-hmm. So I think now to be able to, maybe you want to be able to commute to San Francisco from LA. Well, right now that's impossible. That's going to take you a whole day to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But if with this high speed rail, if you can get there within an hour, then that makes, you know, it opens up a world of possibilities.
It does. It changes the way you think about travel,
mm-hmm.
right, between those two cities. So there's lots to think about. There are pros and cons to this, and we will have to wait and see to find out if it is a safe mode of transportation.
Right.
Well, before we leave you all today, I want to review just a few of the words here. And I'll start with you, Anna. What's a word you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, let's talk about operational. We said that operational just means it's working and in good condition.
All right. And Campbell?
Well, I like the word propel. So here we're talking about physically propelling something, pushing something forward. But we can also say we propel an idea. So they're trying to propel this idea of this maglev train to the world.
All right. And we also have the word there in line 21, predictable. If something is predictable, you know what will happen. And sometimes maybe we like our lives to be predictable. Maybe we don't. Maybe we like some things to be spontaneous, to do some things spontaneously. But if something is predictable, we know what's going to happen. We go to work every day. It's predictable. Okay, so that's a good word to use in your daily vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to mention once again, check out our Topic Talks videos. We have 4 different segments, and we hope that you would scan those with your smart device if you would like to improve your English vocabulary. And practice is very important, so that's a great way to practice using your listening skills and so forth.
Yeah, and we'd also love to hear what you think about this high-speed rail idea, this maglev technology. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's safe? Do you think it's dangerous? Do you think it's ever gonna really happen? Would you take this train? You know, answer these questions, think about it, and write to us and let us know what you think.
That's right. You can actually go onto our website, studioclassroom.com, and click on the advanced section there and go to today's article and leave a comment there. And we would love to hear what you think about this particular topic or any of our topics throughout this month. Well, we have one more Newsworthy Clips article to cover tomorrow, so we hope you will join us again then. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.